Well, good morning. Tough question for you this morning. Do demons exist? Does the devil even exist? I won't bore you with my opinions, but I can tell you one thing for sure, and this really is for sure. Many of the stories in the Bible that involve demons actually have simple medical explanations. So for example, remember the story of the epileptic boy who had the seizures and the disciples could not heal him, and the father pleaded with Jesus to heal his son. And of course the gospel writers attribute that to a demonic possession, but when you read the story and you see exactly what the boy was happening to the boy, you know that he was having epileptic seizures. Even today, in today's gospel story, legion, many demons, this man out among the tombs and out of his mind. Today, probably we would say he was suffering from multiple personalities. Maybe not a legion of demons, but maybe just multiple personalities. So, you know, doesn't matter whether I believe whether demons exist or not, some of the stories in the Gospels do have simpler explanations. But of course, in those days, they didn't know about epilepsy, they didn't know about multiple personalities, they didn't know other things that medicine has revealed to us. So everything that was strange, everything that was unusual, everything that was harmful was attributed to demonic possession. Or being struck by the moon, you know, seliniazomenos is the word that is actually used for that epileptic boy, means moonstruck, you know. So anyway, won't bore you with any more of that. But Anthony de Mello was a Jesuit priest. He was only 56 years old when he died in 1987, but he left behind some wonderful books full of spiritual wisdom that he had cultivated and taught to others during his lifetime. I recently remember that I had a whole bunch of his books stored away in a box, so I found them, and it was wonderful to experience his wisdom again after more than 30 years from the time that I had first read them. He was a master storyteller using parables and short stories to illustrate profound spiritual truth. Here is one of the parables that he wrote in one of his books. God warned the people that an earthquake would happen and it would swallow all the waters of the land. The waters that would take the place that would replace the waters that would be swallowed would make everyone insane. Nobody took it seriously, only the prophet took God seriously, so he carried huge jugs of water to his mountain cave so that he had enough to last until whenever he needed. Sure enough, the earthquake came and the waters vanished and new waters filled the streams and lakes and rivers and ponds. And a few months later, the prophet came down to see what had happened to the people. Everyone had indeed gone mad and attacked him, for they thought it was he who was insane. So the prophet went back to his mountain cave, glad that he had saved water. But as time went by, he found his loneliness unbearable. He yearned for human company. So he went down to the plains again, and again he was rejected by the people, for he was so unlike them. The prophet then gave up. He threw away the water he had saved, drank the new water, and joined the people in their insanity. I can't help but ask, who is insane in today's gospel reading? Is it the man with a legion of entities inside him, as the people thought he was insane, as the gospel writers thought he was insane. Is it Jesus? After all, the people throw him out, tell him to leave. They didn't want any more to do with him. So go away, Jesus, the townspeople told him. Or is it the Gadarene inhabitants who ask Jesus to leave? I won't answer that question. Your answer is as good as mine as to who is insane in this story. It doesn't matter. Because the scene in today's gospel reading is dysfunctional, any way you look at it. And I know I've talked about dysfunctional situation other years, and I'm not going to go into the same stuff again. But then the question arises for us today in 2022, how do we stay sane in a society that seems to go from one insanity to another? It's a good question to ask with just 2 weeks left before an election that has divided so much of our society. What do you do as you are bombarded by anger on the right and woke political correctness on the left? And you want to rely on the media to inform you? Both the conservative and the so-called liberal media are laughing all the way to the bank as they play with your minds. If you're a Christian, there's only one way to stay sane. You have to listen to Jesus Christ. You have to remember the fullness of his message, not pick and choose like everybody does today. You know, pick whatever is comfortable for you. Pick whatever sounds good to you. Pick whatever agrees with what you think. Take the whole message, even the parts, especially the parts that you don't like, especially the parts that make you uncomfortable. Read the Bible, read the Gospels, read the Sermon on the Mount, read the parables that you hear every year in church, here at the liturgy, the prodigal son, the good Samaritan, the publican and the Pharisee, all those many beautiful, profound parables that Jesus spoke, even better than the parables of Anthony de Mello. And if you don't know your way around the Bible and you don't know how to find things in the Bible and it's too overwhelming for you, well, take the liturgy book, borrow it for a few weeks, for a few Sundays, but bring it back every Sunday so you can use it here. Borrow it, borrow that liturgy book, go through the gospel readings, at least go through the gospel readings that we read here in church, that you hear every year, that you hear me some often talking about them. You know, just do something to let the voice of Jesus drown out the insanity of this world. Drown out that insanity while the people around you continue to go insane. So I'll tell another parable from Anthony de Mello, kind of similar. A prophet once came to a city to convert its inhabitants. At first, the people listened to his sermons, but they gradually drifted away till there was not a single soul to hear the prophet when he spoke. One day, a traveler said to him, "Why do you go on preaching?" The prophet said, "In the beginning, I hoped to change these people. If I still shout, it is only to prevent them from changing me." And that, dear friends, is the mission of the church. When we are the church, that is, and not something else. Even if most people leave the truth of Christ, the church will and must continue preaching the gospel. That is the only way we can keep from becoming something else. The Gadarenes told Jesus to leave. They did not like what he brought into their lives. And they wanted nothing more to do with him. Jesus left. Didn't stick around. He wasn't going to let them drive him insane or change him. He left. Let's be one of the places in Portland where Jesus can feel welcome, where his authentic voice is still heard. Let's always ask him to stay, even when what he speaks rocks our boat and makes us uncomfortable. As a matter of fact, it's when he makes us uncomfortable that we are truly listening to him. So let's be uncomfortable for the sake of the kingdom of God, but be on guard against the insanity around you. Protect yourself. Heed the voice of Jesus and follow his call. And let's remain the Church of Christ in Portland. Amen.